In dealing with our topics, as we talk about these particular things, I want to show you today that there is an interrelating that is being done. And that interrelating that is occurring is in regard to God's precious ways of life. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Our God is a steady refuge in a time of trouble. And notice, we will call upon Him as we go through our earthly walk. God is what? He is a refuge and strength in a time of trouble. We'll call upon Him. We'll have Him to be with us. He is a steady refuge. He's a place to hide. He's a place to guard us. And a blessing we have when that takes place in our lives. For God is there aware of what's going on. As a result of being aware of what's taking place, He is thoughtful about how He will help us as we go through life. Some of these things are overwhelming to us. We do not know an answer to those things. And in the New Testament of the Bible, Paul will write to the brethren regarding this. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in any time of our trouble, that we may be able to comfort others in their time of trouble with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. I want you to notice that God is a help to us, and He's a refuge to us, and a strength to us, and He's a comfort to us. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that being in that fathership role, He carries out His responsibility to care for the comfort that we have, because He's the Father of all mercies, and He's the God of all comfort. And in times of sadness in our lives, we go through that kind of period of time, and we have the assurance of God in our prayers that He hears. We have the assurance of the Lord that He is with us. We have a sound mind that we may be able to carry out our work. The Apostle Paul addresses young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 about this. He says, our God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, of sound mind, and good judgment. We do not have the spirit of fear given to us by God, in the sense that we are captivated and we're paralyzed by the things that happen. We don't know where to turn, what to do. We don't know how to go. To the contrary, this God of heaven cares enough about us that He provides for us an answer to our troubles. In His word, when He calls upon us to come to Him, we have songwriters that have worked on that particular idea. You remember the songs that have such as idea of the word cleft in the rock. He's our cleft in the rock. That word cleft carries with it the idea of a holdout place. A place in which the waters run by and past it on the angle of so being so fast that they don't get into that cleft. As a result, the animal or the critter coming by can get into the cleft of the rock and be protected by the onslaught of the rolling waves that come by. We have in these flood times been warned about this idea. We've been warned to turn around and don't drown, because we do not know exactly what the ground surface is underneath the water that's there. It may have washed it out completely. It may be 15 or 20 feet before we get back to the ground itself. We just do not know. If we pass on through, we find ourselves endangered. And that adage come out. Be a person who realizes, turn around, do not drown. In the process of God, He a long time ago said, I'm your cleft in the rock in a time of trouble. Get into this. Let the water roll past. Let it roll by. As a result of it rolling on by, it will not be a damage or harm to you as you are in the cleft of that rock. We find ourselves being blessed by God's refuge in what ways? Well, we've already noted this morning in a few things. He promises to comfort us. He promises to be the God of mercies toward us. and all that goes along with it, a cleft in the rock, that we might find ourselves shielded from dangers and troubles. How does God go about doing that? Well, there's a very specific way in which God went about doing some of that. He brought in the days of Elijah back yonder and long ago, and Elisha, a great army to be killed one night. 185,000 of them died overnight because his angel of death came through the crowd that was there. There were no danger to the people of God in the morning time. Though they had fear in their hearts and they were facing their onslaught, they had no real fear in the morning because they found themselves blessed in the army being taken care of overnight. But that was telling us about something else. It's telling about the faithfulness of His Word and how He promised us that in the process of His way, what He does for you and me is this. He provides in His Word a way for us to live. What does an honest person have to fear regarding facing the law, the government, or any other activities of the court? Why, that honest person has nothing to fear. There is the word of truth that is expressed. There is the effort that is made to tell what actually took place. And there is no fear that is involved in that. Telling the truth, being a person who is righteous. Now in Romans chapter 13, he tells us to obey the government in the ways of truth and right. But what if a government is not a way of truth and right? What if a government hurts and harms individuals who try to do right and do good? God Himself tells that He brings up governments and He brings down governments. And as early as Exodus 20, in reference to the great Ten Commandments, this God of heaven affirms that He visits good unto the third and fourth generation, but He also visits evil unto the third and fourth generation. Whatever is being done in some of those countries of the world which are hurting and harming individuals who live there, serving the cause of God, doing righteous things. What's happening to those people? Well, this is not the only year that they'll have that to face. God will visit the good or the bad under the third and fourth generations of time. We can find ourselves being protected by the edge of the sword. When the Apostle Paul was under arrest and found himself going towards Caesarea, he called upon the civil government under which he now lived. That civil government said, "You are a citizen." One of the soldiers tried to explain to him that I bought this citizenship myself. Money bought me this citizenship. But Paul refers to him, "I was born free. I was from Tarsus. I was born free." As a result, they began to take special care of him. For when this one born free had gotten over to Caesar and told Caesar he was being mistreated on the trip there, why, Caesar would send out his army against that ship and that ship's captain, and they would be in utter fear of their lives. It is not the case that that was going to happen. They were going to protect him and care for him, and they did. When you and I will utilize good ways of our lives, telling the truth, honoring the law, being dependable individuals, we'll have nothing to fear. God has taught us how to be our refuge in time of trouble, in time of difficulty. When I'm out here on the road, I've known these law officers various times and places. When I get on the phone and call 911 to them or call that particular number of the police department or the sheriff's department in the city, they know that what I'm telling them, I'm to earnest and earnest to tell them. If I tell them somebody's over in the ditch and somebody's in need, somebody has run into this individual, they know that that is to be depended upon. They send immediately the ambulances. They send immediately the officers to be there. You can be that way. We can all be that way. We can be people who are honored and realize that we have invested our lives in the refuge for our souls. We're telling the truth. We're doing righteous things. We're trying to help a cause instead of being a problem who always is there. We know those people. They're part of everybody's family, I suppose. They just take a little bit and run a whole lot of distance with it. They take a little bit of words and assume certain things. The late brother Bearden's, Forrest Bearden from Batesville. Late brother Bearden was so respected, he was elected over and over again. He was elected justice of the peace there. And in the process of his being elected justice of the peace there, he had occasion to tell me various stories that took place in his court. And one day he had a man jumping up and down, objecting, like it was an official courtroom. And he said, I told the man, I struck the gavel, and I said, if you jump up one more time and say you object, I'm going to sentence you to the electric chair. He said, the man sat down very calmly, quietly, believed every word about it. He said, it's the only lie ever told in court. He said, I didn't have the authority to send him to the electric chair, but he said, I was just filled up with it. And he said, that's the thing that came to mind. And I told him, you sit down and hush, or I'll send you to the electric chair. He got attention. Well, when you do it once a while and you just have no else to say, people are not going to think that you always tell a falsehood or you always stretch the power that you have. But for sure, when you're an individual who finds yourself has a reputation for taking a little and making a lot out of it, and taking a little and running country mile with it, it's not going to be a good thing for you to have that reputation. Family and friends are going to represent you in a right way when they say, don't say that in front of that person. That person will take it, and you'll be off in the desert before you know it by way of their explanation of things. When we have the refuge of God, we tell truth, and we do righteous things, look at all the good things can happen in our lives and can happen with friends who are in times of trouble around us. We don't misrepresent them. We represent them in a right kind of way. We're appreciated for getting help there sooner than it would have been otherwise. What a blessing it is to have that refuge and strength. But God provides for us, Psalm 46 and 1, not only refuge but strength in a time of trouble. Well, that strength can be, as we've mentioned already, in reference to our comfort and the fact that He's the God of our mercies and of all our comfort. And in fact, we can call upon Him to be comforted. A time of prayer in times of tears brings about a way of peace. It can bring about a joy in our lives. We find ourselves reflecting upon something that we cannot change. You know, whatever happened yesterday is yesterday. There are people who exercise years and years of vanity in their lives trying to regain something from yesterday. And it's just utterly impossible to do. Yesterday was yesterday. As we had yesterday, whatever events took place, they are there. Now, we can make them better, or we can worry about it and make it worse. We can find ourselves so depressed and so sad and so disappointed that we can hardly get out of bed in the morning, much less do any worthwhile activity during the day, much less think about anybody else in a time of need. I know that you are aware of people who have a story to tell. If you tell a story, they have one to better it. They have one to tell you about it. And they're going to explain to you about what they faced in life. We tend to find ourselves saying, I wonder what story this is. I know of some people who will go about, they'll invent a story just to hear somebody say, well, on that basis, I had this to happen to me. And it was something that just way beyond whatever the individual first said was. Let's be people who use the strength of the Lord, not falsehoods in life. And as we use the strength of the Lord, we find ourselves comforted by the prayers that we offer. We look to the opportunities. Let's just think about some things for a moment. Suppose it is the fact that there's someone who has cancer, someone who has a heart ailment, someone who has lung ailment, somebody who has blood disease, and they pass away from it. But what did death really do to their name of respect? still there. What did death do to their dependability? Why, they always, when they were living, they were always sure that if you could count on them, we missed them today, because they were dependable individuals. They were always there. They were always present. They were always helpful. So the respect for that individual and their availability and dependability are not bothered by death, are they? We could go on down the line and list other things in our thoughtful prayers about them. Yes, we'll miss their presence. Yes, we'll miss their words. Yes, we'll miss what they said and did. At the same time, let's take a look in maybe their closet and see if they left some notes about some things. See if they left some recordings about it. See if they left us something that there we could lean upon and learn from and benefit from. Because even though they're gone, they're still speaking to us all the while. God is our refuge and strength. And in His strength provided to us, He provides us comfort. He provides us a time of assurance and awareness. He provides for us a real hope of soul. When it comes your time and my time, and an accident taking place, and we find ourselves in the throes of death, are we a winner either way? If I go or if I stay, the song says, I'm a winner either way. Can we look at that situation and say, thank the Lord for the medicines I have, thank the Lord for the therapy that can be done, thank the Lord for the improvement that's been made? But if not, you know, as long back as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they'll tell the old king about the foods he ate and about the things that they did. Our God is able to rescue us from this fiery furnace. And then added, but if not, we know our gods that you serve are man-made. You made them to smile, you made them fat, you made them skinny, you made them with big ears, you made them with big mouths, you made them with little ones. It's man-made. We know that this God, this idol that you serve, is man-made. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we still will not serve your idols. They're man-made. There's nothing to them. You can take our lives, you can cast us into this fire. But what was there? Who was there in the fire with them? Was there not one like the Son of Man, Son of God, in the fire with them? They came forth out of that fire. When you and I find ourselves going through a trouble and a difficulty, and we look up and remember God was with us, He comforted us, He was a refuge to us, He was a strength to us, we can be successful as we overcome that. Whether I go or whether I stay, I'm a winner either way.